Well, let us begin in prayer. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Once again, it's that Sunday in the church year that we observe as Transfiguration Sunday. And the focus is on that event when these three disciples join Jesus on the mountain. And there appeared to the four of them Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Now, as you can well imagine, I have preached on this particular passage often during my long ministry. In fact, as Bobby was ready to walk out this morning, he grabbed my arm and he said, "You did that with a child once before." Yes, I did. I can't remember how many years ago, but Bobby's got a good memory. This morning I have a new concern, though, as I look at that story. Never before, but this time, as I was reading and reflecting on the story, I became concerned with the other nine disciples. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, the other James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James, and even Judas Iscariot. I know all of you could have named all 12, right? Yeah. Luke tells us that there were the other nine, the nine whom Jesus did not invite to join him there on the top of the mountain. All of the first three Gospels agree that Jesus called 12 persons to be part of his kind of inner circle. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are not in exact agreement as to who those 12 were. But we all agree that, yes, there were 12. They were not the only followers of Jesus. We know that there were women who were part of that group that followed Jesus. Perhaps they even traveled with him. Perhaps they even offered him hospitality when he came to their town or their village. How many followed Jesus as he traveled from one place to another? We really do not know. And maybe even varied from one day to another. Maybe on good weather days it was many. Maybe on rainy days it was less. I think it's quite legitimate to wonder how many Jesus left behind when he invited these three individuals, Peter, James, and John, to go with him in the mountain. Certainly he left behind the other nine disciples and probably many others as well. And we know what happened on that mountain. To be honest with you, we really don't know. Luke tells us that the three disciples had an epiphany. That's an experience of the presence of God. That's why we can't really know or understand what happened, because experiences of the holy, I think, are always a mystery. These three disciples saw things and heard things that seemed to be beyond the normal range of seeing and hearing. And they saw Jesus transformed in appearance. And when the Gospel of Matthew tells the story, he says that the face of Jesus shone like the sun. His appearance changed, and the three disciples saw him talking to Moses and Elijah. Now, just for the record, Moses had been dead for over 1,300 years. Elijah dead for at least 800 years. But that's not really the point. What was important was who these conversation partners were. Moses had brought the law to the people of Israel from the top of Mount Sinai. That was the Old Testament lesson for this morning. And Elijah was the first of the many great prophets of Israel. So there you have law and the prophets, the two ways in which God, this mysterious God whom Israel worshiped, had been made known to the people. The three disciples saw the lawgiver and the first among the prophets talking to their teacher, Jesus. And the point could not be missed. There is a new way in which God would be known. It is in the person, their teacher, the one who had invited them to come with him to the top of the mountain. They saw a cloud and then they heard a voice. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." And then everything seemed to return to normal. Jesus looks like Jesus, and Moses and Elijah simply disappear. No longer any cloud, no longer any voice. And they start down the mountain. And what do about this mysterious experience? Luke says, they told no one of the things that they had seen. If I read this and reflected on this earlier in the week, I wonder, how did all this really affect the three disciples? I would think it would be something very hard to forget. In the second letter attributed to Peter in our New Testament, he tells his readers that he was an eyewitness to Jesus and refers to this experience on the mountain saying, and I quote, "We ourselves heard the voice come from heaven while we were with him on the mountain." Peter remembered, and I would assume so did James and John. Did it deepen their faith? Did it answer all the questions that they had about him, remove any doubts, make them really bold in their commitment? Did it in any way make them better persons? The Gospel of Luke tells us that shortly after this experience, there was an argument among them as to which one of them was the greatest. And the Gospel of Mark tells us that James and John approached Jesus asking for the best seats in the house when he established his kingdom. "Master, grant us to sit on your right and on your left when you come into your glory." And Jesus responded to their question with his own question. "Are you able to drink the cup that I will drink?" And the implication is they certainly were not. And I wonder if Peter thought of this event on the mountain when, on the evening of the arrest of Jesus, three times he denied even knowing Jesus. Evidently, having a religious experience, even of the intensity of that for those three disciples on the mountain, did not produce perfect faith. I do not doubt that down through the ages and today, individuals continue to have epiphanies. That is, powerful experiences of the very presence of God. Often I have spoken to individuals, Sometimes even in hospital situations where they have indicated to me that, yes, they saw Jesus in the midst of their struggle, in the midst of their pain. Religious experiences do not all take the same form. Sometimes things are seen, sometimes not. Sometimes things are heard, sometimes not. I remember being checked by a nurse in a doctor's office one time and filling out all this form. And the question was, do you ever hear voices? And I said, as a preacher, I better. God reveals himself where and when God wills. These experiences don't happen every day. They do not happen to everyone. And that's why I'm concerned about those other 9 disciples. What will happen to those 9 or the 90 who were left at the foot of the mountain? Will they find a reason to believe? Will they have an experience of God that will fill them with awe and with gratitude? What will be the foundation of their faith if they have not had some kind of awesome experience as the 3 who went with Jesus into the mountain? What will be the foundation of their faith? What will enable them to deal with times of doubt, with experiences that seem to deny God's presence? The disciple Thomas that I identify with often, and it's not only because we carry the same name, the disciple Thomas was left behind when others had experienced the risen Lord. Like many others then and down through the centuries, he needed to experience something firsthand before he could ever believe. And when others gave testimony, Judas said, I'll believe it when I see it. Judas was not invited to go up to the top of the mountain. Would it have made any difference if he had seen that dazzling robe and the shining face? You see, down through the ages, we read of saints, we read of mystics, who find themselves in the very presence of God. But the truth is that most of us will never go to the top of the mountain. Most of us will stay behind, camped at the bottom. Will we sense the presence of God not in the strange visions, but in the very routine, ordinariness of life? Will we sense the presence of God in the face of another person? Will we experience God's presence in one who cares, or forgives, or heals? Will we sense God's presence whenever barriers that alienate and separate people are broken down? Will we catch a vision of the world as God intends it when we see people laying down their relentless quest for things? Will we know God not on the mountaintop, but in the desert? In the silence, when no one, not even God, speaks? Will we hear voices not echoing from the clouds, but whispering, almost in a very soft whisper, you are my own, my child, my beloved? No, not everyone gets to go to the top of the mountain. Most of us would like to, but few will. But you know, I see another end to this story. Never saw it before. When Jesus and the three got back to the foot of the mountain and set off for their next destiny, the others followed. The other nine, maybe even many more. You see, there is more than one reason to follow Jesus. There's more than one way to experience the presence of God. There is more than one reason to believe. And there is more than one way to have faith. That is, to be able to trust. Let us bow together in prayer. Eternal God, make yourself known to us. May we hear your voice in times when we need to hear that voice. Maybe not in a glorious experience of being on the top of a mountain. Maybe simply in the desert of experiences, knowing that we are truly yours, your blood. Amen.